today we will start with continue with chapter 11, verse number 44. And we have seen Arjuna going through three phases in this very chapter. The first phase was when he saw the Vishwarupa Darshanam of the Lord. The very first phase was a feeling of Vishmaya or wonderment. And then that gave way to Bhayam or fear when he realized that this world has got two portions. There is the favorable and there is the unfavorable. There is life, there is death. There is victory, there is defeat. All are part and parcel of the same world. And what does the world represent? Vishwa, the world represents what? What is he having a vision of now? Vishwa Rupam. Vishwa is the world. Rupa means the world as the form of the Lord. The world appearing as the form of the Lord. So the whole world is nothing but the appearance of the Lord. And thus the Lord has got both what we call punyam also he gives, papam also the same Lord gives also. But Arjuna is not able to accept, so there is a feeling of bhayam or fear. And finally then comes the feeling of surrender or saranagati. And we have seen the verses that lead up to now, this verse number 44, including the verses that we have recited also. All are this feeling of surrender or saranagati when he realizes the real nature of God. So let us look now at verse number 44 here. And in verse number 44, here, Arjuna also asks for forgiveness also, because he realizing that this Krishna standing before him is the Supreme Lord, he realizes that in many ways that he interacted with him before, he might have inadvertently insulted him or not treated him or given him the right respect. So he is now asking for his forgiveness also. And what does he say? He says, tasmat meaning therefore. Why the word tasmat is there? Because in the earlier verse, he says, you are the father of the world. That means you are the creator of everything in this world. You are the greatest guru. You are the greatest master. You are the one to be worshipped. Thus, knowing all this, tasmat, therefore, coming to understand your reality, your real nature, what should I do? If you realize the person standing before you is no other than God, what will you do? Ask him for something. Of course, you will first bow down to him. You know. So, here he says, tasmat, therefore, knowing there is no one greater than you, I offer you my apologies. And how do I do that? Kayam. You see in the first line the word kayam. With my body. Kayam means body. So just imagine this also like a prayer, that verses that we went through. Every morning you bow down before the Lord, you seek his forgiveness. All this is part and parcel of the prayer also. Recognizing the very glory of God and also asking forgiveness if you have done something wrong, unknowingly. So he says, I offer you my apologies with my kayam, with my body. Pranamya means I bow down. And not only I bow down, but pranidaya, I prostrate, I fall flat on the ground. Pranidaya, where the head up to the feet touch the ground. So I not only bow down, pranamya, but I pranidaya, I totally prostrate, lay down in front of you. I offer my, which is a sign of what? Total surrender, saranagati. That is a sign of total surrender, saranagati. And why do I do this? Why do I bow down before you? Because the next word, you see the word prasadaye. Aham prasadaye. I want to propitiate you. I want to make you happy. I offer my salutations. So I want to make you happy by prostrating and bowing down in front of you. And we must understand, not that God is angry with him. It's not that God has taken any offense with him. But Arjuna himself feels the guilt that I may have done something wrong, right? By behaving improperly with you due to my own ignorance. So now he recognizes Krishna as who? If you look at the second line, the last two words, you are Isham. Very beautiful word, Isha. And another name for God, Isham. Isham means I acknowledge you as the ruler. I acknowledge you as the ruler of the whole creation. So why is Lord the ruler of the whole creation? How does Lord become ruler of the whole creation? He creates. He created everything. Did we create anything? Even this body, did we create? Nothing in this world we have created. So since he has created everything, he is therefore deemed to be the ruler. And this word Isha is a very beautiful word used for the Lord as the ruler of the whole creation. And not only are you the ruler, Isha, you are also Idyam. Idyam means the most adorable one. So rulers can be sometimes very fierce, can be very cruel, but you are not that type of ruler. You are Isha Idyam, you are the most adorable ruler to whom I offer my love and devotion. And here the word Isha has got a very beautiful connection to the word the Upanishad. There is one whole Upanishad called Isyavasyam Upanishad, which recently I think some of us have attended the beautiful discourse by a Swamiji who came from Kerala. And he gave us the whole, or rather part of the explanation of the Isyavasyam Upanishad, which is a very short Upanishad, only 20 verses. But the very first verse, if you just forget about all the other verses, if you just get the meaning of the first verse and you can apply this in your life, you will be very successful on the spiritual path. What does the first verse say? Isyavasyam idam sarva, idam sarvam jagatyam jagat. Isyavasyam idam sarvam yena kimchi jagatyam jagat. Tena tyaktena bunjita madvida kasya svidana. I'll explain to you, very simple. So here he says, Isa Vasyam. This Lord Isa is Vasyam. The word Vasyam means the one that pervades. So what is Isa Vasyam? Isa Vasyam is Isa, the Lord, Vasyam, who pervades everything in this world. That means what? He is all pervading, he is everywhere. Okay? And where he is, it says, Vasyam, it specifies also where. Isa Vasyam Idam Sarvam. All this means everything here. All this. Idam Sarvam. So the Lord who pervades everything in creation, as he is the one who is creator. And we also understood from the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord has got two roles in this creation. One, he is the what we call the intelligent creator. Another, he is the, you remember, what are the two, also the material aspect of this creation. So not only is he the intelligent creator, he is also the very material aspect of this creation. And what is the logic if he's between matter and the object? If I say wood is the cause of this table, that means what? Wood is in the table. If I say God is the cause of this world, means what? God is in the table. In the world. So, means cause is always in the effect. Gold is the cause of ornaments, means gold is in the ornaments. So, here he says, Isa Vasyam Idam Sarvam. This Lord is all pervading in everything. And, Yena Kimchi. Yena Kimchi means, whatever you possess, you may say Lord is the possess. Lord is the what? The Lord of this universe. But I assume the Lord of my house. I possess so many things, right? I have car, I have house. I have so many things. I have. It says no. Yena kimchit, whatever there is there, whatever you also possess, this body, name, fame, money, possessions, whatever you have, all belong to whom? Nobody but God Himself. They have all been, everything in this jagatyam jagat, in this world, whatever you possess, How did you possess it? Tyaktena tena. Very beautiful. Understand this. Everything that you also possess, tyaktena has been granted tena by him. Everything that you possess, don't think that it has just come to you like that. No. It is by Lord's blessings that he has given you all these possessions. Whatever you have. Whether it is health, car, house, anything. Now, okay. So everything has been allotted by the Lord to you, by the very grace of the Lord. Why? Because in the origin, in the beginning, everything only belongs to him. So nothing belongs to you. Understand that very clearly. Okay? So be humble. Don't have an ego. Understand that whatever is mine has been given to me by the grace of the Lord. Okay? So what? So what? It has been given to me by the grace of the Lord. Now this same one verse, the first verse goes on to say, knowing that everything has been granted to you by the Lord, whatever you have, what should you do? Bunjita. Bunjita means, by all means, enjoy it. Experience it, whatever you have. The fame you have, the money you have, it's okay. It's for you to use. It has been granted to you, for you to use. But, there is a caution then. But what? Ma grida. Do not crave. Okay? Do not crave. Do not seek what? Kasya vis dhanam. Kasya visi means, sorry, kasyasvi dhanam. Kasyasvi means other people's wealth. Do not compare what you have with others. Whatever you've been given is in accordance to the grace of the Lord. You are not going to get a penny more, a penny less. Whatever is going to come to you is going to come to you. So don't question, don't ask the Lord why my neighbor has more, why my relatives have more, why my friend has more. No. So don't compare. Enjoy what you have. Use what you have for your spiritual growth. Share with others who are less fortunate. But never ever compare with others. Why? Because two problems are there. When you compare with others who have more than you, you get frustration, you get jealousy, you get anger, you get agitation. And if you compare with those who have less than you, there is ego, there is feeling of superiority and all those kind of feelings. So either way you look at it, you either compare with somebody more also problem, you compare with somebody less also problem. But whatever has been granted to you, enjoy that. Use it for your spiritual growth. And always remember that whatever you have does not at all belong to you. It has been granted to you by the very grace of the Lord. So the very first verse itself is so powerful enough. If we can just remember this and lead our lives, it will be so wonderful. So Arjuna says, you are Isha, you are the ruler, the owner of everything, and you are Idyam, the most adorable ruler, whom everyone loves and worships. So who deserves therefore namaskar? Only the Lord, right? And supposing somebody does namaskar to you, do you deserve their namaskar? So what should you do? Mentally you say, and hand over this namaskar to the Lord, because ultimately nothing belongs to me. Whatever people respect me, whatever people bow down to me, I don't deserve it. Everything mentally surrender to the Lord also. So you should not be namaskaring the person, but namaskaring the Lord in the person, the divinity in the person. And that person receiving it also should understand that you are not namaskaring to me, but the divinity in me. So I surrender that to the Lord. Right? So nothing wrong, but there are, as I told you last week, some Swamijis who don't like to receive namaskar because they feel that it will inflate their ego. So better don't namaskar. So the namaskar he says to you, and who are you? So Deva, O Lord, by doing this namaskar, Deva, Arhasi. Arhasi you will see in the last line. Arhasi, may you or should you be, should you, sorry, Arhasi means should you, Sodu. Sodu means may you forgive me. May you forgive my faults. Whatever I have done wrong, because I have done it unintentionally. If I have done something wrong, it is not intentionally. In fact, in chapter 16, he tells us a very beautiful mantra, you know. You see, sometimes we have got good intentions. And there are four sadhanas which he gave in chapter 17 that all of us should follow. Ahara, the type of food we eat. Okay. Yajna, how we offer our prayers. What is the attitude? Not what you offer, but the attitude with which you offer your prayers. Third is Dhanam. What is the attitude by which you give charity? Okay. So he's not saying how much you should give, it is the attitude. So Ahara, Yajna, Dhana, Tapaha. Tapaha is austerities. How do you, what is the attitude by which you keep your austerities? So four sadhanas is given in chapter 17. And for every sadhana, he tells you what is the sattvic way, what is rajasic way, what is tamasic way. So if you are a spiritual person, you should follow the four sadhanas which way? Sattvic way. So I must take sattvic food, I must have the sattvic attitude in my prayers, I must have sattvic attitude how I give charity, and when I do, my austerities also must be with the sattvic way. So if I do these four sadhanas in the sattvic way, I will grow spiritually. If I do the rajasic way, when I say grow spiritually means what? I purify my mind. I remove the dirt from my mind. If I do it the rajasic way, I spiritually stagnate. I don't improve, neither do I go backward. If I do these four sadhanas in the tamasic way, what happens? I go backward spiritually. So Krishna says, if you follow the sattvic way also, sometimes you might unknowingly also make some mistakes. How? I want to eat sattvic food, I go to a restaurant, but it is contaminated with something. It's not my fault. I try to eat, like today I went, so I asked for my favorite reindeer curry. So the waiter didn't understand me, he put fish curry in my rice. And I didn't know, I ate. Then I found bones in my fish in my curry. So I called the manager. See, I asked for onion curry, how come there are bones? Then she fired the waiter because he put fish curry in my rice. So unknowingly, you might, your intention is to eat something sattvic, but you are served something rajasic. Okay. You might do prayers, yajna, but you might not know the proper procedure. You might offer the wrong flowers, you might chant a mantra wrongly, right? Not because you purposely did it, but that is the way you were taught. Dhanam, you give charity to to an organization, later you find out the organization has misused your money for your charity. Okay? So that means what? Intentionally you sought to do good, the sattvic way, but there is some flaw in your sadhana. So what do you do now? What can you do? Ask for forgiveness. How do you ask for forgiveness? Yeah, you have to rectify. So how do you rectify? So he's given us a mantra to use. And that mantra in chapter 17 is very simple. You don't have to recite Gayatri mantra. You don't have to recite the whole Vedas. You don't have to recite Vishnu Sahasranama 1000 times. All you say is Om Tat Sat. Om Tat Sat. When? Before you commence anything. Before you eat your food, Om Tat Sat. Before you give any charity, Om Tat Sat. But don't give it, don't do it deliberately, wrongly, and then say Om Tat Sat. So he gives a warning also in chapter 17, the last verse. He says, do it with faith, do it with purity of heart, do it with commitment. Then if you make a mistake, I will forgive you by just chanting Om Tat Sat. So here also now Arjuna says, may you also forgive me, Sodum, may you forgive me. Forgive and forgive my faults. And Arjuna wants to give three examples how other people also forgive and forget. So what are the three examples he gives? Like a pita, like a father, forgives the faults of pita putrasya, forgives the faults of the son. So the son also by unintentionally might do something wrong, might behave wrongly, might have insulted the parents or something, whatever is done, but the father the way a father forgives the son because of the immaturity. Okay? So the father forgives accordingly, and Lord, who are you? You are the father of the world. How do we know the Lord is the father of the world? Because you yourself have told me. In chapter 9, verse 17, Krishna told Arjuna, I am the Pita, I am the father. So you yourself have claimed that you are the father of the world, and therefore I am your child. So just like a father forgives his son, may you also treat me as a child and forgive me for my mistakes also. So again, this is part of that prayer, that verse 44 that we recited. So you see, the whole, everything is contained in these verses. You know, salutations to the Lord, asking forgiveness from the Lord, everything is there in these verses. So that is one example he gives. Like a father forgives a son for his misdeeds. Don't ask me why he didn't say father forgives a daughter. Maybe daughters don't do anything wrong. So father forgives the son. So, and another example he gives, Priya, as a husband, forgives Priyaya, forgives his devoted wife. So the wife also may make some mistakes. The wife may insult the husband. So the way the husband forgives the wife also. And of course the question is always asked, why is the, you know, the husband always put on a higher pedestal than the wife? Why is it that the husband must forgive the wife, not the other way around? So actually in our tradition, I mean, and it is the case nowadays also, normally the husband is always elder than the wife. So being elder than the wife, what is the duty of the husband? To guide the wife. To guide the wife. So that's why in the tradition it has always been that the husband becomes the guru or the protector of the wife. And in our tradition also it's been said that the woman has got three protectors in her life. One is her father. When she gets married, is the husband. And then later it becomes the son also. So here in this case he's saying, like the husband forgives the wife for whatever transpasses, right? So generally, since the husband is older, he's supposed to be the guru to guide her, and if she makes mistakes, so he's supposed to forgive her. So of course nowadays no wife is willing to become a student, no wife is willing to become a shishya. Why? Not because husbands are younger. Why is no wife willing to become a student? Because very few husbands have the qualities of a guru also, isn't it? So the husband also must have the quality of the guru for the wife also to follow the advice. So here the word priya means dear one. So actually it is not directly translated as wife, but actually it means dear one. So when we say wife is also called Priya because she is a dear one. And if she's not dear, what should you do? Make her dear. Say make her dear. That's why the wife is referred to very lovingly as Priya, meaning a very dear one. So just like the husband would forgive the wife for the trespasses, may you, O Lord, also forgive me also. Because we can have different relationships with the Lord also. As a friend, as a beloved, as a father-son relationship. So there are many different ways, depends how the devotee approaches the Lord also. And the third example he gives, just as a sakhe, friend, would forgive the offenses and insults of another sakhyu, another friend. So a true friend is always willing to forgive and forget the trespasses of a dear friend. And O Lord, you are also my friend. May you on those grounds also forgive me. Thus, O Lord, just like a father forgives the son, the beloved forgives his lover, and the friend who forgives another friend, in the same way, you are my father, you are my beloved one, you are my friend, may you also forgive me for any trespasses. And thus, with this verse, ends the prayer part of the verses which we went through from 36 to 44. And we have already learned to recite these verses also. So now we come to verse number 45. Now in verse 45, Arjuna expresses twofold emotions, because he is going through two emotions now, which are simultaneously occupying his mind. And what are the two emotions? One part of Arjuna's mind says, I am so fortunate to be blessed by Bhagwan with this Divya Chakshu, the divine eye. And what is the divine eye? What is the definition of the divine eye? Not a third eye coming on Arjuna, but what? What is Divya Chakshu? Removing the impurities from Arjuna's mind. It is because of these impurities that we are unable to see Lord in this world. The more impurities we have, ego, anger, lust, jealousy, pride, the less and less we are able to see divinity. So in order for Arjuna to experience this vision of the Lord, he had to remove the impurities. That is called Divya Chakshu, divine eye. So Arjuna understands that I am so fortunate that Lord has removed these impurities and has received this very rare Vishwarupa Darshanam. And he wants to enjoy that Vishwarupa Darshanam, but at the same time he notices the, or rather he noticed the mouth of the Lord very busily eating away. So very busily eating away. And that death principle, Kala Tattvam, seeing the Lord destroying his beloved people, all the soldiers dying on the battlefield, including his beloved people, gripped his mind with fear or bhayam. So now there is a conflict in his mind. He is happy to be blessed with Divya Chakshu, but at the same time he has fear. And what is the difference between Arjuna being blessed with Divya Chakshu and us also? We can get this Divya Chakshu if we go through all the sadhana diligently, with commitment. We go through karma yoga, upasana yoga, jnana yoga, we also can purify our mind. But in Arjuna's case, it was what? Shortcut, because the Lord just blessed him. So in Arjuna's case, it is not out of his own effort. Thus, the blessing of the Lord was slowly wearing away. Right? So if we also can get this Divya Chakshu, if through our own natural way, then we won't be frightened. We will have this devotion in us. We will be able to accept favorable and unfavorable circumstances. But for Arjuna, since he was blessed temporarily by the Lord, so he found it to be a very unpleasant experience. So what does Arjuna want now? He wants to plead to the Lord to withdraw this Vishwarupa. He cannot take it anymore. So he makes an appeal to the Lord. He says, Drishtva, seeing something very unusual, very unique, which is Adrishtva. See, both the words are there. In the first line you see Adrishtva, at the end of the line you see Drishtva. Drishtva means I have seen something very unique, which is what? Adrishtva, which I have never seen Purvam before. Adrishtva Purvam. I have seen something which I have never seen before. Never in my life have I had this vision of Vishwarupam. And as a result of seeing this, I am, what is my emotion? Rishito. Rishito means, Ashmi Rishito means I am extremely delighted. I am extremely happy on seeing this Vishwarupa, which is something very rare. But at the same time, second line the word, bhayena. At the same time, I also have this fear in me. In seeing your destructive aspect, your destructive nature, your mouth busily swallowing all the jivas heading for their destruction. So, now what is the state of my mind? Me manaha, my mind, is pravyatitam. Pravyatitam in the second line means my mind has become bewildered now. Because it is gripped by fear, it is gripped by torment, it is gripped by distress, there is total fear and confusion now in my mind. So therefore now he says to Lord, Deva, O Lord, please darshaya, please show me now what? Tad rupam, that previous form, and he's going to mention what type of form he wants to see. His mind is already so troubled. He needs to see something that will bring his mind and make it calm. So now he's appealing to Lord now. So what do we understand from this is that if our mind is not prepared, as I said earlier, through the sadhanas, then it is very difficult for us to accept unfavorable situations in life. So now Arjuna's mind is very shaken, and thus he says, Krishna, he says, can you please prasida, may you be gracious enough, prasida, Jagan Nivasa, O Lord, who is the abode of the whole universe, may you be gracious enough. And what is it he wants to see? The humble appeal he is making to the Lord in verse 46, the form that he wishes to see. What is that form? Okay, now he describes the form here. He says, Aham Ichhami, I would desire, I would like to see, Drashtum, see you in what? Tena Eva Rupena, in the very form. And he describes the form here with Kiritinam. Kiritinam means wearing a crown. That is the form he wants to see. So one is with the crown on the head. What else? Gada, wielding a mace, one hand wielding a mace. Chakra, another hand holding the disc. And where did Arjuna see this form? So one hand holding the mace, one hand holding the disc. Where did he see this form before? In chapter 11, verse 17, if you just go back, the very first thing that he saw when Krishna showed him the Vishwarupa. Chapter 11, verse 17. So chapter 11 verse 17, he said that when he first saw the Vishwarupam, he was describing it. I see you with diadem, with mace, with discus. So that is the form, the very first form that he saw. And this is what is called the very forearm form. Okay. So it is not yet the Krishna form, but it is the forearm form that we see in the temples, that we worship. Because Arjuna wanted now to make his mind calm, so he asked Lord Krishna to show him that form. And then he also addresses Lord here now as Sahasrabaho. Sahasrabaho means, because now he is seeing which form? The Lord with the 1,000 arms. So he says, you are the Lord with the 1,000 arms, but I don't want to see the Lord with the 1,000 arms. I want to see what? Chatur Bhujena. Chatur means four, Bhujena means arms. So I want to see the Lord with the four hand form. The Lord carrying the disc, the what you call the chakra, the gada and all that. One hand holding the lotus, one hand holding the disc, one hand holding the what you call the mace. So I want to see the four hand form. And he addresses Lord as also Vishwamurte, the last word there, Vishwamurte. Vishwa again means the world. So Lord, who is now appearing as the world with the 1,000-arm forms, I don't want to see that. Can you please withdraw this form and show me the pleasing forearm form? Okay. Now, in order for us also to accept this, what we call, if we go through the sadhana and we prepare our mind and we have that inner maturity, then we are able to understand the real nature of the Lord. That Lord is both the, what we call the good part of the creation, at the same time Lord is also the destructive part of the creation. He is both the creative and the destructive part. So how can I make my mind mature? How do I make my mind mature? Because Arjuna's mind was not mature. So how can I make my mind mature? To understand that Lord is both the creative and destructive part of the creation. So first of all, we start with what? We start with Eka Rupa Bhakti. By first appreciating and devoting our worship to the Lord in a particular form. All of us normally start with that. And we feel the presence of this Lord in our heart. So first there is initial devotion to a particular Lord with a particular form. And then slowly we have to progress and understand that this Lord who is in my heart is also where? Is also everywhere. In that way I can learn to appreciate the Lord in everything also in creation. Until I can't begin to appreciate the Lord in everything in creation, how am I going to accept favorable and unfavorable? Then I will always divide the world into two. I like this person, I don't like that person. I like this situation, I don't like this situation. So first we start with that ekarupa. From ekarupa we have to progress to anekarupa, where we can see or experience the Lord in everything in creation. That is how we slowly can come to accept every experience, pleasant experience also there is Lord, adverse experience also there is also Lord. So we have to grow spiritually. So now, since Arjuna has not done this, he is asking Lord to remove that Vishwarupa. So now, since he has made the request, so Krishna has got to comply. So now, the next verse, Lord Krishna speaks. So, he says, I know that you are not ready for Vishwarupa. But, because, why did I give you Vishwarupa? Why did he? Lord knew that Arjuna was not ready. Yet, he gave him that darshanam. Why did he do that? Why did he do that? Because Arjuna totally surrendered to him. Arjuna surrendered to him. So, being very pleased with Arjuna's surrender, he gave him this temporary vision. So now Lord is saying, idam rupam. You see, of course, idam is in the first line, rupam is in the second line. Now, idam rupam means the Vishwa rupam, the universal form, which was shown to you, and Lord calls this as Atma Yoga. Atma means Lord's own yoga. So this Atma Yoga, what does this mean? Atma Yoga, you can see in the second line. Atma Yoga means by my own Maya. Now, Maya has got several meanings. But in this context, Maya means assembly. Okay, assembly. Assembly of what? The three gunas, Sattvic, Rajasic, Tamasic gunas. So Lord has created this whole world, this creation, which we call Maya illusion. The word Maya means it contains the three gunas, Sattvic, Rajasic, Tamasic. Now, why do we call it an illusion? Illusion means what? What is an illusion? Something which is not there, not real, right? So when we say the world is an illusion, what do we mean? It is not that the world is not there, it is there. Yet, why do we call it an illusion? Because it's constantly changing, right? And therefore, why is it constantly changing? Because it consists of the three gunas, which are all subject to change also. Just like the three gunas which are in us, also can constantly change. My personality can be sattvic, it can be calm and pleasing. Tomorrow it can be rajasic, it can be very, materialistic, or it can be tamasic, very ignorant. So one can change from sattvic to rajasic to tamasic. In the same way, the three gunas are also in creation. We see the creation going through constant change. So Krishna says, this is my Atma Yoga, this is my Maya. I've shown you as the world which is nothing but my Maya. And why did I show you? Maya Prasannena. Maya Prasannena, in the first line, means because I was pleased with you. I was pleased with your devotion, I was pleased with your surrender, so I showed you this vision. And what is this vision? It is Tejomayam. It is full of radiance. Why is this vision full of radiance? Because it contains everything in creation. The sun, the effulgence of the sun, effulgence of the moon, the stars, the fire, everything is in this creation. Therefore, the form is very radiant. And it is also anantam. Anantam means limitless. When we say limitless means what? two aspects are there when we talk about Anantam. When we called Lord Anantam and we call this world also Anantam, limitless means in terms of space, there is no end. We do not know where is the beginning and the end of this entire creation, and in terms of time, we do not know when the creation was created, when also it will be dissolved. Why? Because the creation is constantly revolving from manifest to unmanifest, manifest again to unmanifest. So now he wants to withdraw that vision in verse 48. Now, before he withdraws this vision also, we must understand what does it mean by Lord withdrawing this whole Vishwarupa? What does it mean by Lord withdrawing this whole Vishwarupa?
See,
what is Vishwarupa? Is the world, right? Lord appearing as a world. So when he says, I'm going to withdraw this Vishwarupa, it means what? Withdraw the whole world. If he withdraws the whole world, what is left? There's nothing left. So what does he mean by, I'm going to, because I'm pleased with you, I'm going to withdraw this Vishwarupa? I'm going to withdraw the Divya Chakshu. So what does it mean when you say withdraw the Divya Chakshu? Meaning what? What does it mean by withdrawing the Divya Chakshu?
Does it mean that impurities will again come back to us?
All the impurities are put back in his mind again. Impurities of ego. Why do we see division in the world? Why we don't see one God everywhere? Because of the impurities in our mind. Because I have ego, I see you as separate, I see me as separate. Right? Because of the envy, the pride, the jealousy in me, I see everything as separate. The minute these impurities are removed from my mind, then I only can see one vision of everything. So, withdrawing the Divya Chakshu, that Arjuna saw the world as it is normally, meaning the impurities were all put back in his mind. Otherwise, if Lord says, I withdraw the Vishwarupa Darshana, meaning a withdraw the whole world, then there's nothing left at all. So we must understand it's very allegorical. Okay? So now he has withdrawn, and therefore the question is, how can we also understand, how can we also get one day to see this vision of the Lord? What is the very important element we also must have in us? So in the next verse, Krishna wants to tell us that what is the very essence for us also to see this Vishwarupa? So Vishwarupa Darshanam, here he says in verse number 48, Na Veda Yajna Adhyanir. So you see the Na Veda Yajna Adhyanir, there are three words there. Na Veda means by learning how to chant all the mantras in the scriptures. Let's say you learn how to chant the Bhagavad Gita blindfolded, you can chant left to right, front to back. Let's say you learn how to chant all the verses in the Gita and the Vedas. Yajna, by doing all kinds of prayers and rituals, etc. also. So even if you chant all the verses in the Gita and the Vedas, even if you do elaborate prayers and rituals, na dhanir. Even if you give charity, tons and tons of charity you can do, give away a lot of charity. Even then he says, Na Kriyabir. Kriyabir means, even if you do all your duties and responsibilities, you do them diligently, you take care of all your duties and responsibilities. Na Tapobir. Even if you keep the most severest austerities, you keep fast, whatever you do, Na Ugre. Ugre means even severe austerities. Ugre means severe austerities. Right? Some people do severe austerities, walking on fire and all these kind of things. He say, no matter whatever you do, I can never be seen in this Vishwarupa form. So that means what? Even if you study the Gita, even if you chant the Gita, even if you keep austerities, even if you give dhanam, all this also, you cannot get the vision of Vishwarupa. Meaning what? We are wasting our time already. Isn't it? Everything that we have done, he says, whatever you do also, you cannot get the Vishwarupa Darshana. He says, Na Drashtum, Na Sakhya Drashtum, you will not be capable of seeing this Evam Rupa, this form of mine. Therefore, what is missing? He says, everything that you do, all the sadhanas that you do, what is the most important element? That is what he wants to emphasize on in his last few, the closing verses of chapter 11. Surrender. Okay, how can surrender come? What is the element that you must have? Devotion. Devotion. If there is no devotion in your reading of the scriptures, if there is no devotion when you give charity, if there's no devotion when you do your duties and responsibilities, you will never ever get this Vishwarupa Darshana. So he wants to highlight, because next chapter is what? Chapter 12? Bhakti Yoga, Yoga of Devotion. So he is basically finalizing that and leading us to the very next important sadhana, which is called Bhakti Devotion. But we must understand, bhakti devotion is not just going to temples, lighting a at your altar, lighting a lamp at your altar. That is not bhakti. We will understand what is the definition of bhakti in the next chapter. But here he just wants to point out that if there is no bhakti, there is no devotion, then no matter whatever sadhana you do, will not give you my grace. Because ultimately you need Lord's grace. You see, if you have the inclination, if you have the desire to get spiritual knowledge, later on in the next few verses, Lord will say, I will help you. But first you must have the desire that you want to know the scriptures. Then how will God help you? He will send a guru. He will make all the right conditions for you. If you have the desire for the knowledge of the scriptures. Similarly, if you have the devotion for the Lord, then every sadhana that you do, you will get the blessings of the Lord. Otherwise, it all becomes very mechanical. Right? So it says, Na Veda, Na Dhana, Na Yajna, whatever you do, then you will not get the devotion of this Vishwarupa Darshana. And Nirloke. Nirloke means in this world. While you are alive, forget about even going to Devaloka. Okay? Forget of even going to... In fact, if you all want to go to Swargaloka, there's a very fast shortcut I can give you. Within 3 hours, you can reach Swargaloka. I give you the formula. You don't have to come for Gita class. 3 hours, you can reach Swargaloka. You all want to go Swargaloka? Three hours you can reach there. In Bali, there is a resort just open called Swargaloka. I'm not joking, you can look it up. Yeah, so 3 hours to Bali or in Swargaloka. No need to study scriptures and all. So same thing here, see, devotion must be there. There must be devotion. Nirloke, in this human world, as you are alive also, you cannot see. Forget even about Devaloka. Later it's going to mention, even the Devas are desiring to see this, they also cannot see also. So, Nirloke. And you must have therefore this intention, intense desire and surrender for the Lord. So, if you don't have this intense desire and for the Lord, even if the Lord comes in front of you, you do tapas, everything you do, the Lord comes in front of you. What are you going to ask Him? If you have no desire for the Lord, what are you going to ask Him? You keep tapas, you keep fast for 20 days, then the Lord comes. Okay, now tell me what you want. Do something, I want another car, I want Mercedes, I want BMW. That's what you want. Because there's no intense desire. So why should the Lord give you that darshanam also? That's why to the Rakshasas also, who did all his prayers, he also came. But he gave them, but in the end, it ended up destroying them also. Because they never wanted God, they only wanted those material things. So now, in verse 49, he says to Arjuna, if you are not ready for this darshanam, I will not impose it upon you. So Arjuna also, you are not ready, So I will not impose it. And this is the beauty about our scriptures, that religion is never imposed on anybody. If you are not interested, then God also can wait. Why? Why will God wait? Because He is eternal. He can wait forever. So you take your time. When you want to come to Him, He is there ready for you. So if you are not ready for this, He says, I will withdraw. If you are not ready for moksha, then Krishna says, that is not what you want, then I will not grant that to you also. And there are many people who are very clear. They go to temple, they pray, everything they do, but they are very clear one thing they don't want. That is moksha. Right? Many people do not want moksha. They are very happy with whatever they have, so they go and pray for more material things. So why should God grant them moksha if they are not ready for it? So as long as you are interested in the pleasures of the world, you carry on. Okay? That's why Vedanta says, if you don't have value for moksha, then what should you do? Supposing, not all of us want moksha, right? We want to enjoy in this world. If you don't have value for moksha, never mind. It's not going to force it upon you. But what should you do then? You don't want to surrender, because you don't want moksha also. Then what should you do at least? At least work for artha and kama. If you have interest in possession, work for that. If you have interest to satisfy some desires, work for that. But one condition, follow the path of dharma. At least minimum do that. If you do that, gradually there will arise a value for moksha. So let it come gradually. You don't have to force yourself. So Krishna says, Arjuna, you ask for that Vishwarupa Darshanam. Please, by your devotion, I fulfill your request. Now you are asking me to withdraw, so I will also withdraw also. So he says now, in what's that verse number? 49, right? So he says, vyatha, you see the word vyatha in the first line. Vyatha means do not be distressed. I will take away your mental disturbance, your mental distress. And therefore, I will also take away, remove the bhava, your bewildered state. Since you are in a state of distress, you are in a state of bewilderment, your mind is agitated, I will take away all this. How? I will show you my drishva rupam mama. I will show you my, sorry, why were you distressed? Because I showed you my ghoram, my horrifying form I showed you. Earlier, what I was showing you was my destructive form, and thus you became very distressed. And now he says, I will now show you, punaha, again, I will show you what? My forearm form that you have requested for. So, this will remove all your fear, this will remove all your agitation. I will show you once again. Why once again? Because he already showed him that earlier, what we saw in verse number 17, chapter 11, verse 17. That pleasing form I will now show you again. So, which will remove all the fear from your mind, and thus, prita manaha will make your mind comfortable, will make your mind happy also. So, I will remove this Vishwarupa. So, now, Lord is in the process of removing the impurities from Arjuna's mind. So Lord is doing his work, Arjuna is silent, so therefore again Sanjaya has to speak something. So what does Sanjaya say? He says, Vasudeva, addressing Lord Krishna as Vasudeva. Vasudeva means son of Vasudeva, as Krishna's father was called Vasudeva. So what did Vasudeva do? Iti uktva, he uttered these words to Arjuna. What are the words we are going to see soon? He uttered these words to Arjuna and he showed him darsha masa. Darshaya masa means he showed the swakam rupam. Swakam rupam is the forearm form. So, darshaya masa means showed. What did he show? He showed swakam rupam, the forearm form, holding the mace, the discus. head adorned with a diadem, wearing garlands, one maya, and also yellow cloth, which is all associated with the forearm form. Okay? And even after Krishna changed to the forearm form, there was still, if you see the word there, bhitam enam, there was still some fear in Arjuna's mind. Why was the fear there? Because it took him some time to calm down. You know, when you see something which is terribly frightening, you have a nightmare, definitely if you are woken up, it's going to take you some time to calm down. So Arjuna's mind was still in a state of fear, and therefore Krishna had to console him also with some words. So we will see the words which are coming soon. So previously he showed him the fearful form, now he showed him the very pleasing form. And this pleasing form, there's a very beautiful, prayer to Lord Krishna. You can see it in YouTube, very beautiful. It is called Madhuram, Madhura Astakam. Astakam means 8 verses. Madhura means which is very sweet, very pleasing form. And the prayer is so beautiful. In fact, here he identifies the form as, if you can see the fourth line, Saumya Vapur. Saumya Vapur means a very serene, the very pleasing, the type of form that people love to see, a very pleasing form. And in this Madhura Astakam, the very first line is so beautiful, Haduram Madhuram. The word Madhuram is constantly repeated. So Madhuram is what? Madhura means something which is sweet, which is pleasing. Haduram Madhuram means what? Your lips are sweet. So this is seeing the form of Krishna and praying to him. Haduram Madhuram, your lips are sweet. Vadanam Madhuram, your face also is sweet. Hasitam Madhuram, your smile also is sweet. Hridayam Madhuram, here the word Hridaram means basically your eyes are sweet. Gamanam Madhuram, everything about you is sweet also. So the prayer is Aduram Madhuram, Vadanam Madhuram, Nayanam Madhuram, Hasitam Madhuram, Hridaya Madhuram, Gamanam Madhuram, Madhuradipate, Akhilam Madhuram. You are nothing but charming, you are sweet. And every verse contains this word Madhuram, Madhuram, Madhuram. And every line, every verse ends with Madhuradipate, Akhilam Madhuram. So it's a very beautiful prayer for this forearm form of Lord. And that is what now Krishna is doing, withdrawing this form, this terrible form, and showing him the forearm form. Okay. So now in verse 51, Arjuna now describes what he is seeing. Since now the forearm form is in front of him, Arjuna describes this. He addresses Lord as Janardana. So this form is Janardana, which has two words, Jana and Ardana. Jana means people. Ardana means the one who is worshipped by people. So Jana Ardana means the very form who people worship, who people approach when they want to ask something, for something. So that is another name for Krishna, Janardana. He says, Janardana, Drishtva Manusam Rupam. Now I am seeing a more human form. Although it is a forearm form, but it has got face, it has got eyes, everything is there. It has got lips, ears, hands, everything is there. So I am seeing the human form. And because I am seeing this now, Idhanim Asmi Sacheta. Idhanim means now, Asmi, I have come back to my normal state now. Sachetasaha means, Chetasa means mind. Sachetasa means my mind has become calm now, control now. And I am back to my normal state. I have regained my normal state. Now, when we say Arjuna has regained his normal state, very careful, we have to understand, his delusion is still not gone. Why we say that? He says, my mind is now calm, but his delusion still has not gone. Why do we say that?
Impurities
are back again. He says, I'm calm, but his delusion of whether to fight this war or not to fight this war, that is not gone yet. So, how do we know that? Also, he says, I'm calm now. Calm means mind should be able to think. But yet, he is still not sure whether to fight or not to fight. So, how do we know that?
So he still fears the other aspect.
Yeah, that he saw that fearful aspect, but yes. Now his fear is gone, mind is calm, but his delusion is not gone.
But he
is still not sure. He's not picked up his bow and arrow. So how do we know his delusion is not gone? It's another 7 more chapters to go. Isn't it? So many more questions he still has to ask. Because if delusion is gone, means what now? Chapter 11 and Tatsaditi, that's all, you cannot go back. So, there means so many more still. So, when will his delusion go? Chapter 18, verse 73. Look at verse 73. Chapter 17, verse 73. What does he say there? Page 336. Page 336, chapter 18, verse 73. My delusion is destroyed, my memory has come back, with thy grace I stand firm, my doubts dispel, I shall do thy bidding. Karishe vachanam tava. I shall follow what you have taught me and I will do my duty according to my dharma. So here also he says that my mind is calm, but there's still a lot of confusion in his mind, a lot of questions that he wants to ask, and therefore now the Lord starts to speak now. Now these last few verses, 52 to 55, are the summary of this chapter 11. And verse 55 is the capsule verse that is going to introduce what is going to be expanded in chapter 12. So these last few verses are a summary by Krishna. And he wants to glorify this Vishwarupa Darshanam. Okay? So he tells Arjuna, Idam Rupam, this form of mind, this Vishwarupa form of mind which you have seen is Sudur Darsham, is very, very difficult to see. Not easy to see. It is not that Lord is trying to discourage us, because there are so many devotees of the Lord. And all the devotees of the Lord are not equal. Why? Because from chapter 7, verse 19, Krishna told us that there are 4 types of devotees. These 4 types of devotees are all devotees of the Lord. They all pray to Him, they all worship to Him, but they all have their motives. Only the devotee which is Lord identifies there as a Jignyashu, the one who has a desire for knowledge of God and finally becomes a Jnani, those are the only 2 devotees who are interested to know the Lord. Whereas the other 2 devotees, Artha and Arthati, they are only interested to worship the Lord, to remove obstacles or to gain something. So that's why he says, that is why it is so difficult. Not that his vision is, it is difficult to get the vision of the Lord, but people themselves are not interested at all. So he says, Sudur Darsham, it is very difficult to attain this vision. Okay? Because all the devotees practice sadhanas, but they all have their motives also. Why they keep fast, why they go to temple, why they go pilgrimage, they all have their motives. Okay? And one may have to go through many, many, many births also in order to get this vision. So he says, this which you have witnessed now, drishtavan asi, which I showed you now, this vision, because you deserve it, due to your surrender, he says, Api Deva, even the Devas also do not have this vision, cannot get this vision of Vishwarupa. Even the Devas are Darshana Kamshina, they are hankering to get a vision of this Vishwarupa. They are dying to get a vision of this. But even they cannot get a vision. Why is that? Imagine the Devas also, in Swarga Loka, even they also will not get a vision of Vishwarupa, even though they are hankering for it. Yeah, why is that?
Because
they
don't enjoy it. You see, don't have enough devotion. They have their own intentions.
They have their own?
Their own whatever they want to do.
So, why are they devas in the first place? Why did they become devas? Because of the punyam that they did, right? And the punyam that they did was because of the motive they wanted to go to Swarga Loka. They didn't do the punyam to attain God. They did the punyam to attain Swarga Loka. So he says even the devas are not going to get this vision. Because their motive of doing the punyam was to attain Swarga Loka. And I give them Swarga Loka. But I'm not going to give them that highest vision. So again, what is he telling us? That if our motive is to do all the good deeds to attain punyam for Swarga Loka, that is what you are going to get. So even the devas also are not fortunate to get this Swarga Loka also. And thus he says, again he repeats in verse number 53, the same thing that what he said in, where was that verse? In verse 48, is repeated again in 53. So this Vishwarupa Darshanam, there is only one way to get it. And there is a thing called in our scriptures, which is called Tivra Bhakti. T-I-V-R-A, Tivra Bhakti. In our scriptures it is given, because Bhakti can have many levels. And not all the Bhakti you have is going to give you a vision of the Lord. Only when you come to this Tivra Bhakti, what is Tivra Bhakti? Tivra Bhakti means when you have an intense craving or desire for the Lord. That is called Tivra Bhakti. Otherwise, we also have Bhakti, but it is a very mild form of Bhakti. We forget it very fast. So, Tivra Bhakti is that very intense craving for the Lord. And there is a beautiful story, in fact, told in... Shivananda Lahiri, which is written by Adi Shankaracharya. Shivananda Lahiri, which contains about 100 verses. And in one of the verses, Shankara wants to describe what is this Tivra Bhakti. In the beautiful story, I think you all might have heard of this person called Kannapa. How many of you have heard the story? Yes, yes. How many of you have heard the story? One, two, three. Only three. So there's a very beautiful story of Kannapa. Whenever we want to know about the greatest devotee of the Lord who has this intense bhakti for the Lord, the story is told about this Kannapa. He's not a Brahmin, he's not a highly realized soul. You know what was Kannapa? A hunter. He was a hunter. But he had this intense desire and love for God. He didn't know all the rules and regulations of prayers. He was totally ignorant person. But he just had this intense desire and love for Lord. So one day he saw this Shivalingam. A priest had put up a Shivalingam. And the priest had decorated the Shivalingam with two eyes, a nose and a mouth. So he saw that shape of Shivalingam and he became so devoted to it. And he wanted to offer something. So what he did is he went to the river nearby, he scooped up some water in his mouth and he took a piece of meat from his bag because that was his food for the day and he went to the Shivalingam, poured the water out from his mouth onto the Shivalingam and he was wearing his shoes also, so there were flowers which were offered to the Shivalingam. He trampled on all the flowers, he didn't know what he was doing and he offered the meat to the Shivalingam. He prayed to it and he went off. Next day the priest came. He was so shocked. So all the flowers there were all trampled in disarray. What is it offered to the Shivalingam? Piece of meat. He was so shocked. So he didn't know what to do. Every day he went there, he saw the same thing. Piece of meat and all the flowers in disarray. And the water which was poured on the Shivalingam. So one day he hid behind the bush to see who is going to do this. Then he saw the hunter come, pour the water out from his mouth. Already the priest had a heart attack. On top of that, he gave the meat to the Shiva Lingam, somehow shocked the priest, and he trampled on all the flowers, did his prayers and went off. So now this priest was very enraged, but then he said, how can I attack the hunter? He will kill me. So he prayed to the Lord. The Lord said, never mind, tomorrow you go and hide. You see what this hunter does. So next day the hunter came, again with the meat and all that, the water in his mouth. This time he noticed that one of the eyes of the Shiva Lingam was bleeding. So he tried to take a cloth and wipe the blood, but the blood kept on flowing and flowing and flowing. Then he went to find some leaves or herbs to patch up, so to to stop the bleeding, because he was so intensely, you know, he had that love and devotion. To him was a very real thing. And still the bleeding didn't stop. Then what he did, he took a knife, poked out one of his eyes, and he put the eye on the there, and the bleeding stopped. So the priest was watching all this. Imagine somebody just poke out his eye and put there. Okay. Now that was not the end of the story. Now the other eye started bleeding. So what he had to do now? Poke out the other eye. But you know what's the problem? When you poke out the other eye, you can't see where you want to put that eye, right? So what did he do? He put his foot on that eye there. As so that he will know where, when I pluck out the eye, I can't see anything. So where my foot is, I'll put that eye. So the minute he put the foot on the Shiva Lingam and he was about to pluck his eye out, Lord Shiva appeared in front of him. Said, this is total devotion. This is Tibara Bhakti. That the person is willing to poke out both his eyes, blind himself so that the Lord's eyes won't bleed. So he restored back his eyesight and then the priest understood. So the same thing, like as I said earlier in chapter 17, when he says, you do things, that intense love is there. Unintentionally, you may do something wrong. But if your intention is pure, then Lord will forgive it. And what is the mantra you should use? Om Tat Sat. But do not, as I say, purposely violate the rules and regulation and then say Om Tat Sat. It's like, supposing you go to a temple and you see somebody you don't like sitting there, then you go and step on his foot and then you say, sorry, sorry, sorry. That means what? The sorry mantra is not going to work, isn't it? But if you genuinely mean it and you step on him by mistake and you say sorry, then the sorry mantra has got some value. So same thing what here Krishna is telling Arjuna, that even if by the study of the Vedas, na Veda, na tapasa, no matter by how much penance you do, na danena, no matter how much charity you do, na ijaya. Ijaya means sacrifice, all the prayers and rituals that you do. If there is no bhakti in you, and that bhakti has got to be a tivra bhakti, very intense, focused bhakti of the Lord. Okay? So tivra bhakti. So all that you do, all the various sadhanas that you do, it is not possible for you to see me in this form. Okay? Na tapas, na danena, na yajna, na ijaya. Such a rare Vishva Rupa cannot be attained. Right? And the irony is what? What is the irony? He's telling Arjuna, not by any dhanam, not by any yajna, not by any prayers, rituals, fasting, can you see this form of mine. If you don't have that intense devotion. And what is the irony of it all? Huh? Arjuna himself asked him to withdraw that, which is so difficult to see. So many people are dying to see and he's telling him to withdraw it. You know? He's saying, look at the irony of your request, Arjuna. So, he says, therefore, what he wants to highlight basically is this very important point, that what is it that will help us to get this Vishwarupa Darshanam, which he will summarize in these two verses 54 and 55, which we will see next week. And then before we proceed on to chapter 12, once we finish these two verses, we can have a short Q&A session, so that any doubts, questions, whatever you have to clear up, clear that up, and then we'll go into chapter 12. Okay. We'll end with a prayer.
Vasudeva Sutam Devam Kansa Chanura Mardanam Devaki Paramanandam Krishnam Vande Jagat Guru.
Thank you. Love you. Thank you.